technical stuff real quick.
Okay, we'd like to continue to pray for Joe and Neva Pyatt as they are traveling home from Tennessee today. Pray for Justin Lovell. His workplace is going through changes. Mm. And continue to pray for David and Lindsay Brown. David went into rehab yesterday.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, let's take some time to pray for these people. I don't know about that Joe and Neva. I guess we'll pray for them in case Neva's listening. But all right, let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, God, we just come before you thankful that you are God. I'm so thankful that we have a God that we can voice to, that we could speak to. And God, have confidence that you hear our hearts, you hear our needs. God, that you love us that much that you hear us. And so, God, we pray for Joe and Neva. God, we pray that you would just bless them as they travel. God, you would help them get home safely. And God, that they would just get here safely. God, I know that there's a lot of things going on that could go wrong, flats or injury problem, whatever like that. But God, I pray that you would just continue to bless them on their trip. God, let there be no issues or problems coming home. But God, allow them, deliver them here. And the God, we pray for Justin Lovell. God, I know that, man, it's hard to work whenever there's a lot of changes going on in your work life. And whatever change comes, Father, I pray that you would just continue to be with him and adjust to that. It's hard to adjust sometimes, especially if we're in a routine that we're familiar with, God, that we like. We like that routine. And oftentimes we don't know what change brings. It may bring to a new job. We have no idea what happens, but God, I pray that through the change that God, you would give Justin the wisdom of how to continue to work through that and to adjust course, however that might be. But God, that you would bless him in that attempt. And God, you would just be, I pray that Justin would know you as his Lord and Savior. And God, I pray that throughout whatever changes may happen, the one thing that we can be confident in is that our God does not change. You do not waver. And so God, even when the circumstances of a job or things going on in our life that may feel like out of our control, God, we can have confidence and know that you are in control and that we can trust you through all things. So God, I'm thankful for Justin Lovell and for his prayer requests. And God, I pray you would just bless him in his work and everything that he does, honors and glorifies you. And God, we just continue to pray for David and Lindsay Brown. God, and we pray for David as we heard that he's gone into rehab yesterday. God, for whatever situation that may be going in, God, I pray that you would just bring healing and deliverance through that. God, that you are a God that can break anything that that may bind us, that may hold us back from living fully to our potential that you created us for. You can break the chains that hold us in bondage to our sinfulness or sinful nature or whatever that might be, God. I pray that he would get the help of whatever's going on that's happening in his life. God, you would surround him with the right people in his life who will help him in that process, that will help him make the right adjustments and to let loose of some things. And God, I pray that if he doesn't know you as Lord, the first priority would be that you would break through the noise of his life and show him that you are good. Show him his need for King Jesus, that he does not have to try to be good enough. He doesn't have to feel like he's too far gone or too bad, that he can't surrender to you, God. You are not a God that says you need to get your act together before you can come to me. God, we bring you our mess and our junk and the messiness of our life and allow you to piece us back together. I pray for his healing, God. I pray for the rehab that he's going through and going to. But God, it would be healing. It would be one that would set him free from whatever it is that may have bondage over him. And God, I pray and ask that in Jesus' name, because you are the one that delivers us from things like that. So God, we give you the glory and praise. It's rightfully yours. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. The Refuge Church at New Liberty is located at 18304 East 1140 Road in Sayre. Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey will bless your shoes and socks off, y'all. Crosscut Creations by Pastor Joe Thompson. If you would like some custom designs in wood, you can contact Pastor Joe at 580-243-8635. Joshua's Crossing Ministries, located here at the Promise Center in Elk City. And our sponsor for today is Prophetic Voice Ministries, located at 616 North Locust Avenue here in Elk City. Apostle Casey Elliott is an awesome man of God. Stay tuned, y'all. Don't go away. We will be right back.
Getting your oil changed or having your tires rotated isn't always the easiest thing for a woman to have done, but it's always been just fine for me because Barber Dyson Ford takes care of everything. They've always treated me professionally. I've never had to worry about unnecessary work, and the work they've done has kept me on the road, and it's kept me safe. That's one reason I'll be a Barber Dyson customer for life. Thanks, Barber Dyson Ford, for providing outstanding service for 25 years.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. Guidelines are principles and rules that you live by. They're based on standards bigger than you. They were established before you and will continue after you. They are not controlled by what you do, but directly connected to why you do. They may seem to be a limit to your life, but are proven by the life that follows. Why you do is much more important than what you do.
Whether you've been thinking about sizing down or have some land or home you want to sell, Grants Auction and Realty should be your first choice. Maybe you have an estate that needs to be liquidated. Grants Auction and Realty will get you the best price. Grants Auction is your complete liquidation professional. Grants Auction locks and catalogs every item. They don't charge you more, they just make you more. Grants Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269, or find them on the web at www.grantsauction.com.
You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, y'all. Our guest for today is Jace Morrow. His title for this morning is Being at the Feet of Jesus.
All right. Well, I'll jump back into it.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Here we go. All right. So we looked at Mary and Martha and Luke chapter 10, and we've seen how Mary reacted to Jesus, that Mary is the one sitting at the feet of Jesus because she sees value in him and is in the disciple position ready to learn at his feet because she values his word, knows that he's all-knowing, and is submitting to his authority that, Jesus, I need you. And then we see her sister, Martha, who is distracted, and she's distracted by serving too much. And not that serving is wrong, but it's misguided. And so we talked about the busyness of that. We've talked about with Martha getting fired up back at Jesus of saying, tell Mary to help me. And so we see this. So Martha is frustrated and tries to tell Jesus what to do as if she knows what's best for Mary. But in fact, we see that Martha is the one that has it backwards. It's not that Mary, because she's accusing Mary, Mary has left me to serve you alone. And that's the thing. It's not that Mary left Martha to serve alone, but Martha left Mary to worship alone. She didn't go to Jesus to worship with her sister. And so serving without worship can lead to burnout and frustration. Like I mentioned earlier, if you don't understand whose you are and who you are, you're going to work yourself to death and try to find value and joy in things that ultimately don't suffice, that aren't good, like the way that the Lord is good. And so serving without worship can lead to burnout, but letting your worship of God lead you into serving, there's a word there. It's called being the church, allowing your worship to drive your serving. Man, that has a different flow and a different outcome than when you're just trying to be so busy to work. And yes, it may be with good intentions. You may be helping with a church event or trying to do something that's beneficial for others. But if it's out of a place of, well, I'm just going to do this and continuously serve, I'm doing this for the Lord, this and that, and then you never really rest at his feet, and then you kind of become angry at that and hold a grudge for someone like this, of like, well, tell her to help me. Like, well, Mary's actually doing the right thing by resting at the feet of Jesus, and Martha is just working away and missing out on Jesus entirely. And so her serving is misguided a little bit. And so, and here's the thing also, Jesus didn't need anything that Martha was offering him. All that she was doing in trying to serve him was kind of being done in vain because she missed out on the one that was, she missed out on the one thing that was necessary. And so Jesus, like I said, Jesus didn't need anything from Martha, but Martha needed what Jesus was offering. That was himself. And Mary was getting that. Mary found value in the worth of resting and being at the feet of Jesus, letting him invest in her and pour his life into her and whatever he was teaching her in that moment. And Martha was missing out on that. And so, and I think we do that in our lives too. We miss out on Jesus at times. There's nothing we can offer Jesus that he needs, but he offers us the one thing that is a necessity, and that's himself. In him, we find salvation. You don't need to try to add anything to Jesus to make him a better Jesus or a better Savior and Lord. There's nothing we can add to him or to him to make him better. Everything that we need is in him. And so in this last part of the verse, I find this interesting of Jesus' response to Martha's attitude-ish, kind of, tell her to help me. And so here's what Jesus' response to her is. And it mentions that Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. Okay, so let's look at that. 41, the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. So there we go again already. If you're trying to, this balancing act of trying to be busy and finding value and worth, just like she's so busy with serving, missing out on resting at Jesus' feet. You're anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary, and Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. And so for this word that has chosen the good portion, or choice, some translations say that, you know, it's related to this lawyer. Lawyers use this word, that inherit, right? And so throughout the Bible, God says that he himself is the portion or inheritance of his people. We see that in Psalm 73, verse 25 and 26, that says, whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. And then Lamentations 3, verses 22 through 24 says this, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. And so the purpose of a life with the Lord is to enjoy eternal life as our portion or inheritance, right? We get the Lord. We get what he offers us, which is eternal life, salvation. And the reason we're saved is to enjoy God, to sit with him, to listen to him, to talk with him, to treasure him as our inheritance. He is our portion. That's the value of not only just knowing the Lord, but of knowing who he is, but knowing him as our God. He is our portion. He is our treasure. He is the thing that we value to sit with, to enjoy, to be in his presence. Jesus is the good portion we should choose before or instead of being busy with all kinds of acts of service. We should choose Jesus first before anything else. When you choose Jesus first and allow him to speak life into you, to change you radically from the inside out, that's why I said earlier, it changes everything else that you touch and do. Because you no longer flow from trying to find joy and purpose in doing those things, but rather your joy and purpose comes with who Jesus is to you and who he says about what he says about you. And then everything you do from there on serving him has a different light to it, has a different view of it. And so not only is the Lord our portion, this is what's really cool. Not only is the Lord our portion, our inheritance, we get to enjoy him and do this, but we are his portion too. Like, that's a really cool imagery to me. Not only do we get to inherit him, we get to enjoy him and treasure him and value him and love on him and sit with him and talk with him. We are his portion too. He gets us. He values us. He treasures us. He loves us. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 9 says, the Lord's portion is his people. So the Lord's portion is his people. We inherited him and he inherits us. And here's the promise that when Jesus is your portion, he won't be taken away from you. That's what he said here. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. your portion, when Jesus is your portion, your value, your inheritance, your everything, he won't be taken away from you. The Lord is forever ours, and we are forever his. Nothing will ever separate us from his love. No one will ever pluck you out of his hands. Never will he leave us or forsake us, which means or abandon us. The Lord is our portion and our inheritance forever. And that's why Mary chose the necessary thing, which was sitting at the feet of Jesus, worshiping, valuing him, treasuring him, sitting with him, listening to him, and chose the good portion. Because Jesus, I value you, I treasure you. I value your words. You bring change. You bring life change. And I want to sit at your feet because you are good. And so if the Lord is my portion and he's never taken away from me, I wonder how many days is he sitting waiting for me to notice that he is the one necessary thing. I feel like I can go day in, day out, sometimes a few days without, with wrestling with other things and not really surrendering anything over to the Lord and trusting him with that thing. And I think far too often we miss out on sitting at the feet of Jesus. Pushing back on the busyness of the world to savor the love of our God. I feel like even as Christians, we struggle with that of trying to find the busyness of our life and trying to pat ourselves on the back, say, look how busy I am. Man, that means I'm valued. I have a lot of worth. When God says, man, I want you to rest and sit at my feet and value our time together. There's so much worth and value out of resting. That's why God on that last day, on the seventh day, God rested. He built that time in so we would value that time to rest, to recharge. Resting is not a bad thing. And a lot of us like to rest. We like to be in that. And so with this, the Lord being our portion, never is he plucked away from us, never taken away from us. Because here's the thing, we can't lose God. Once we have him, once we've surrendered our life to him, we can't lose him. I know there's some other theology and different thoughts out there, but my idea of this is this, that if we did nothing to earn salvation, there's nothing that we can do to lose our salvation. That almost makes it sound like that there is a way if you could earn it, then you can lose it too. And that's not really how it works, because it's Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life. It's a free gift. Salvation is free. We did nothing to earn it. We did nothing to deserve it. God did all the heavy lifting. God did everything to make salvation available to us through his son, Jesus Christ. We did nothing to earn it. So therefore, we can't do that. We can't do anything of it. If we did nothing to earn it, there's nothing we can do to lose it. And so he is our portion, and we are his. And we've got to take the time to not be so busy competing with everyone else, trying to be busy. As I know there's kind of this bad rep of like, man, if you're not busy, if you're not constantly do something, you're lazy. You're a bum. Like, get out and go do something. You're wasting the day away. You're doing this. Now, I understand if like you're lethargic, like you're just laying around constantly eating a bag of Lay's chips every day and like not doing anything, and you're just laying around. There's a difference from doing that to taking the intentional time to pause in a crazy, busy, filled world to say, God, I need you. I need to rest at your feet, because that says, God, I'm your follower. Like, you're my God. I pause in the craziness of my life because I recognize I can go all day being busy, busy, busy. But I need to pause and reflect and take time to seek you out, because I need you. I submit to your authority. You are the God of my life. The world should stop and pause and reflect for you. And so carving a few minutes out of every morning to spend time with you in your word, and that's beneficial for me. There's never a time where I think anyone ever hated themselves and wrecked their life because they paused and made time for God. I don't think that's ever been a thing that's like, man, I shouldn't have had that quiet time. I should not have read my Bible today. Now I'm going to be late. Okay. So there's so much benefit from taking a pause out of your busyness. And I actually think you'll see a lot of benefits for your own mental health, physical health, regularly checking in with God, submitting to his authority, yielding to who he is, and going, God, I often don't know what's going on in my life, and I need you. And I'm trusting you with that. Just like what Mary did, she chose the good portion that, God, I value you. I sit at your feet. I'm not going to rush and get ahead. I'm going to value and treasure the time because you're in my house. You're here with me. And so I'm going to listen to you. I'm going to obey to you because you are God and I am not. And I'm going to rest at that. And there's so much freedom in resting with the Lord, rather than just trying to constantly be good enough, value your own worthiness and equate it because if you're busy or not busy, comparing it to your neighbors or cousins or family members down the road who are constantly on the go and moving. Go, man, I wish my life was like them. I got to get caught up. I need to be busy. And then you drown yourself with the noise of this world, and then you miss out on Jesus because you're so busy trying to do other things. You miss out on God. Don't be like Martha in trying to serve and doing things and not pausing to take the time to rest at the feet of Jesus. There's so much more value in Jesus. So I want to challenge you, if you're here today and you are a follower of Jesus, like me, I'm going to spend some time today repenting of my busyness, because my busyness is often sometimes misguided, where I don't take the appropriate time to pause and reflect and submit to the authority of Jesus and go, God, I just need to rest today in your presence. I need to seek you out and what you say about me, because I know whose I am, and that changes how I view myself because of who I am, because I don't need to be good enough. My identity is in Christ, and I pause and reflect in that, God. I need you more than you ever needed me. And if you're here today and maybe you've been struggling with the weight of this world, trying to find value and worth in everything that you're doing, and it seems like you're not getting value, you're not getting worth, you feel like you're constantly trying to play this game of playing keep up, and you're overwhelmed and you're anxious and you're nervous. Could it be because you don't know the Prince of Peace? Could it be because you don't know Jesus honestly as your Lord and Savior? Here's the beautiful thing about God. You don't have to be good enough. You don't have to try to earn your way. Like I said, I prayed this earlier, that even if you're watching and you're like, man, if you only knew my past, if you only knew my family history, like my family history is a train wreck. And so, God probably wouldn't want to hear from me. That's quite a lie from the enemy. And God says, actually, because of your past, because of who you are, because of what's going on, you're the very kind of person I came to die for. And that I want you to have freedom of of those chains or whatever's going on in your life. Man, that's what God offers you. You don't have to try to be good enough. Doesn't matter if you're the best person in the world and you still have sin in your life. Doesn't matter if you're a train wreck drug addict right now, high, and you're tuning in and you're like, wow, I never heard that before. Man, God can go to the deepest of pits and save you from that. But you got to be willing to trust him in that. And that's exactly what he did for you. With Romans 3:23, regardless of how bad you think you are, there's nobody here without sin. Romans 6:23, like I said earlier, the wages of sin is death. We rightfully deserve hell. But the free gift is eternal life in Christ Jesus, because you can't earn it. There's nothing you can do to earn that. In Romans 5:8, God demonstrated his own love for you in this way, that even while you were sinners, even while you were abusive, even while you were drunk, even while you were high, even while you were addicted to pornography, even while you were all of these things, Christ saw you and still willingly died for you, knowing that there was no way you could prepare that yourself. There's no way you could earn heaven because of your sinfulness. So God paid the way. He loved you so much that Christ demonstrated his love for you in that way. He died for you. And here's the beautiful thing. We don't serve a dead God. That's what sets us apart. We are the only belief system in the world that our God did not stay dead. He is a God that man has to work their way to God. Christianity, following Jesus, is God's pursued man, came down to us and died for us. And we don't serve a dead God. Look, I've been to the Holy Land. I've seen the two areas that they suspect is an empty tomb. Doesn't matter which tomb it was or not, because the tomb was empty. I didn't have to see the Holy Land to know the tomb was empty, but it's really cool just to be able to say that. And so Jesus is alive and well today, which what sets us apart is that's why we have what is called a living hope, because the hope that we have in Jesus is the fact that he is alive and well today, and we can have forgiveness of our sin. And so Romans 10, verse 9 and 10, you have this as well of, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And then the verse 13, that everybody who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Not if you've been good enough, not if you've cleaned your act up enough, not if you finally said no to those things, but man, if you come to him broken and miserable at the bottom of the barrel of your life, Jesus, I submit to you. I recognize I need you. I've tried forever to try to straighten myself out, and I can't. And it's because you need a source. There's no self-help book good enough. to help you fix yourself and repair your situation. You need somebody outside of yourself, bigger than you, to fix you. And that can only be God. Stop trying to pursue your own glory. Stop trying to fix yourself and still doubting if you have value and worth, because God says you do have value and worth. I know that because Jesus died for you. He also rose from the grave for you so that you could have forgiveness and freedom of that sin. Trust in Jesus today. Today is the day of salvation. And all you need is to believe that Jesus is God's one and only Son. Believe that he died on the cross for you, that he rose from the grave. It could be a simple, ugly prayer. Like, it doesn't need to be uniform. There's no prayer that says, I have to pray exactly like this, and it just becomes a chant, like a football game, and we're just going to pray the Lord's Prayer together as if it matters, even though we don't really believe it. We're just saying it because we think it'll help us win the football game. It could be as simple as, God, I am so broken, but I believe in you. I believe, Jesus, that you died for me. Now, would you please come into my life and save me? Man, it could be as honest and open as that, because it's not the words that you say. It's the attitude of your heart. It's repenting and going, God, I need you. Amen. If you need help with that, tune in, call, text, whatever. Whatever you need to do, like, let's do that today. Don't sit idly by and think, well, I'll get it straight. I'll wait till Sunday to go. Man, if God's knocking on your heart right now, like, let's do that thing. Amen. We'll help you.
We had a few more prayer requests come in.
Oh, good.
So they are, let's pray for Brian, a little boy in Texas who is very ill. And then pray for Frank. He was in a very bad car accident. A very bad wreck.
Okay.
And then pray for Kelly to get good report after the procedure today.
Okay. Mind if I add one on there too? There's a little girl named Zoe.
Go ahead.
Oh, do I need to write it?
No, that's okay.
Oh, okay. Her name's Zoe. It's actually our DOM's granddaughter, I believe. I wish I had my phone on me to give like the details of what's happening, but she's kind of gone into renal failure of, like, her kidneys were shutting down. And she's, like, oh, my goodness, 4, 5, 6, somewhere with it. Like, very, very young.
Yeah.
And they have no idea why, like, what's happening. Her kidneys were shutting down. And so they're up in the city with her. And I did see an update where she's okay, but they're still running a lot of tests and don't know why, what the cause was. Just praying that her kidneys would start to function the way that they're supposed to. And so I'm just going to add her to that list. So, but okay, I'll pray. I will go back to pray for this. Dearly Father God, we just can come back to you. We just continue to pray and seek you out in this time. God, we pray for Brian, the little boy from Texas. God, we know that he is very, very sick. And God, we know that you heal all things, whether in this life or the next. And God, I pray for Brian that, God, you would bring ultimate healing to him. Father, I pray that you would, whether that's by you putting your physical hands, touching him, healing his body, Lord, whether that's whatever hospital or doctors, whatever that may be involved, God, that you would give the doctors and the medical staff the wisdom of how to move forward with whatever's going on with his body. God, you would give them the right measurements of medicines or whatever else that you've provided us to help with this stuff. Whatever's going on in his body, God, I pray that you would bring healing. God, you would bring wisdom and discernment to the medical team around him, that they would make the right choices, the best decisions that'll benefit his health. Lord, we pray for that family. God, I can't imagine what it's like to be surrounding such a young life and to feel helpless, feel like, man, I can't really do anything to help because we don't understand what's happening. God, I pray that you would bring a confidence in their life. God, you would bring, you would just remind them that you are in control, that we can trust you in these things, even whenever it looks like we would do things differently. We don't understand why things are happening the way that they are, that you're worth trusting in and holding on to. Because, God, I don't know how other people make it without having a source of hope and knowing you as the rock of their foundation. And so, God, I want to continue lift up Frank to you as he was in a very bad wreck. And God, I pray healing over his body as well. God, the damages and the bruises, cuts, the broken things, or whatever may be going on in his body, God, the soreness, stiffness that's going to be coming from that wreck. God, thank you for helping him survive that. And God, I pray that as he moves forward, that he would just heal, that God, you would bring about that healing, that he would be able to rest, and that you would repair his body the way that it was meant to be. And so, God, we continue also to pray for Kelly, that she would get a good report after her procedure today. God, that you would deliver her through that. God, I pray that the medical staff would be able to get in there and get everything that's going on or see whatever they need to see to be able to decide how to proceed forward. God, I even pray that even if it's not a good report, that some way you would get the glory out of it. You would be with Kelly. That's the thing is, I hate the saying of God won't give you more than what we can handle, when that's a lie. God, oftentimes there are a lot of things in this world that we can't handle on our own, which is why it is important that we seek you, because you are our portion. You are the one that carries us through those things, the difficult moments in life that we can't carry on our own. No matter of how many support system we may have around us, God, it makes a difference when the God of all creation is on our side. So, Father, I pray that even if Kelly gets a report that is not the one that we want, you would be her strength through that. You would be the one that would carry her through this season of time, and that, God, you, and that she would surrender to that. Saying, God, I need you. I submit to you, and I trust you. God, I know there's much more benefit seeking you out, holding on to you, and letting you be the anchor of the storm in the midst of the storm, rather than trying to figure it out on our own. So, God, we seek you out in that. And, Lord, I want to lift up Zoe to you. God, I know, Lord, I love Danny, and God, my heart breaks for him, and as having to see such a young family member to go through such a scary, life-threatening situation and not even to understand why. And so, God, that just tells us that even as followers of Jesus, we're not guaranteed sunshine and rainbow constantly. In fact, we're going to face a lot of hard times and difficult moments. But there's peace in knowing that we have a God who's on our side, who carries us through difficult moments. Father, I just lift Zoe up to you, that, God, you would just bring healing over her body. God, would you please allow her kidneys to function properly as they are supposed to? God, I pray that you would allow a medical breakthrough to happen for the doctors and the medical team to figure out what in the world caused this, what's happening, and how can they have the best wisdom going forward, and how do we attack this now? How do we address this, figure out what's happening, and to conquer it? Father, I pray that Zoe would be in good spirits, and God, you would just bring laughter and joy in her heart, God, even though I know her body's aching and hurting and going through dialysis and all this other stuff. God, would you please allow her kidneys to function properly the way that they're supposed to? Father, I pray for her family. I pray for her mommy and daddy, God, who also probably feel so defeated and scared out of their minds of, man, are we going to lose her or not? God, the fear that Satan is probably going to put in their heart, trip them up, make them doubt your goodness. God, I pray that you would shut the demons' mouths. You would shut the lies of Satan. And God, you would put a protection around their minds and their thoughts, bringing them good confidence, bringing them words of peace. God, you would put people in their life right now who would maybe text them, call them, pray over them, pray for them, pray with them, of words of wisdom, of words of hope that are found in Scripture, God. We don't need Hobby Lobby theology and trying to say cute little sayings, but God, we need Scripture spoken into their life, showing them that the strength comes from God. Father, I pray for this family as they continue to be there with Zoe, to support her, to love on her, to encourage her. Father, yet again, we just pray for all of these people, that we know we can put their prayer requests, we can put them in your hands, and knowing that you are good and you're in control. So God, we love you. We give you all the glory and praise that's rightfully yours. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. You have been tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, y'all. And I am going to say it again. It is the most powerful hour of my day. From myself, Monica Lovell, from the beautiful Tina Dobbs, and from our handsome brother in Christ, Jace Morrow. Y'all have a blessed day, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Let us pray, let us pray. We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been